Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what happens when a family is tormented by poltergeist activity for many, many years? What kind of lasting impact does it make on members of a family, from children to adults? Today, we hear that story.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show and you want all the bonus material, all of our EPP bonus episodes, advanced episodes of our show that are released to you commercial-free weeks before they're released to everybody else, then become an extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up. Or patreon.com/realghoststories and sign up there. Same content, two different places. Print on the platform that you like. You get all the stuff, including our audiobook and the ebook as well. Both available on Amazon, both the best sellers. And they're like, you know, $15 retail a piece, but you get them for free for only $5 along with everything else. And you sign up at ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you.
Tony, do they get Genzu knives?
Not this week, Carol. This week, if you call right now and become an extra podcast person, I'm going to throw in this plastic juicer. You jam it into an orange, squeeze,
what?
And juice. Look at this. It's flowing everywhere.
That's crazy, Tony.
Oh, God, this is amazing. Juice is everywhere. Oh, starting to sound really bad.
Is that kind of sound a little bit gross?
Little
but it's
up.
Still a great idea, Tony.
I remember as a kid.
Do they even make Genzu knives anymore? All of a sudden that popped in my brain.
Yeah, I mean, Genzu was a big one. Remember the Miracle Blade, too? That was another one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have those sorts of things anymore?
I don't know. I don't see them on like on the, I love looking at the As Seen on TV aisle. And who doesn't? I mean, even if you're not buying shit from that aisle, I think that's kind of like a guilty pleasure of mine. And I think a lot of people, just seeing what sort of weird, random shit someone invented. And someone thought, we're going to spend millions of dollars marketing this. Let's see what happens.
See, that's when you have to do the white elephant exchange. That's the aisle I go to.
Yeah, it's great.
Because that's the crap you don't buy for yourself. But maybe if it works as it says it does, it could be life-changing for someone.
Oh, admit it. You've bought something from there for yourself before.
I never have.
Never? You've never bought anything that says As Seen on TV on the side of it?
No, I don't think so.
I'm trying to think. Last year I got a roller knife as a gift from one of my daughters. I think it's like for pizza, technically. Which I don't know why you wouldn't just use a pizza cutter, but it's the thought that counts. Because it's like the same thing, but less efficient. I'm like, I don't know what else you'd really use this for. I guess if you're like making your own crackers or something and you really want to roll the I don't know. I got that. I got the egg thing where you can crack an egg and then put it in this like silicone thing and then boil it. So, and I actually want to try that. I have now had it. I've had it for about a year and I've yet to use it, where I think you could like put the egg in there and you could like mix some cheese or something in with it and then boil it. Then it comes out like this boiled egg. But
and Tony, that was not one of your daughters who gave you that, right? The egg thing, because that's going to be really sad.
I use my Christmas
money. If the poor kid gave you that a year ago and you've never used it, they're like, I'm failing at gifts for Tony.
Well, they do cry themselves to sleep every night when they're like, he doesn't love our gifts.
He doesn't like the egg thing.
He must not love me. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of sad.
Now it's that weird, awkward thing like, oh, look, kids, let's use this egg thing. Great, Tony. We only got it a year ago for you.
I'll use it at their graduation or something. It'll be great. I'm trying to think. I bought in stuff. I bought like a flashlight once as an
on. Yeah, convince them that you bought it for yourself. No, you didn't. You got me something else. No, that you didn't give me that.
No, this was not at all. They'd buy it too because they were like, I know what you bought it. I don't know what we bought you because half the time, it's been a thing this year with Christmas because Jen went and bought the gifts for from one sister to the other just because in years past it's been kind of a hassle and it's been like, no, I don't want to get her that. I want to get her this. And it's usually something kind of ridiculous that the other one's not going to want. And so Jen just went and got it done. And now this year they're both like, but I didn't want to get her that.
That's funny.
But it is what it is. So I think they'll be both appreciative of their gifts when they get them. But for so many years, you know, one was too little to do it. The other, you know, it just didn't. But I really, they're old enough now where they, you know, they can make decisions and start buying each other as seen on TV gifts and call it good.
I tell you, they're perfect. They are truly the item that I would not buy myself.
What?
They have seen on TV. I buy them for other people, but I would not buy one for me.
Well.
So that would, if you want to get me something for my birthday, because by the time this airs, Christmas is past.
Just going to say, I just watch your mailbox. Watch your mailbox because you never know what's going to show up.
Yes.
855-853-4802. Is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, and it's interesting because this one kind of starts out like a book would. The child woke up from his sleep after hearing the small mechanical toy train moving. He thought his brother returned from the school to play. Suddenly he saw a little girl with old-fashioned children's clothes saying to come and play with me. Only the voice was saying it in Arabic. The child was surprised as this girl is not from the house and a stranger to him. He starts calling his brother. Sam, Sam, where are you? Mom, where are you? Sam was 6 years old. His older brother was in a nearby school. His mother was gone to the market as she used to do daily to bring fresh fruit and bread home. Don't be afraid, the little girl said. Who are you? The child asked. I'm Aleem, she replied, and pushing the mechanical toy train towards the child to play. Then just the child did the same. He winds the train and forwards it back to her and goes back and forth. She was happy and focused on the toy train. Then, as always, she directs the train in a different direction. And when the child goes to get the train and sit back down to resend it to her, she was gone. The child couldn't find her at all. He looked everywhere. He kept it secret. Did not tell his mother. The child thought that Aleem may be from the house next door, that she came over, maybe just to play, from a side of the house that no one else could see. She came once in a while when a child was alone and played with him. They were the same age, 5 years old. That child was me back in 1958 in Baghdad City. My mother was tormented with poltergeist activities in Baghdad City back from 1957 to 1960 in her old Turkish-style house. My mother was pushed from the stairs and broke her elbow. I got slapped by an unseen force when I used to go to the old kitchen area. My brother Sam was a sleepwalker, and he used to say that a voice would tell him to go upstairs and jump from the top of the house. My mother saved him twice. Once he was standing on the edge of the house in Baghdad. My mother used to read from the holy book and clean the place, put candles, and used to ask for permission to go about certain areas of that old house. And when I asked her to whom she was talking, she told me that these unseen forces can harm us if we provoke them. So we must be careful and always keep the place clean. Many times blankets will be pulled so suddenly from us, and my mom runs to the room praying until they stopped. Dishes and kitchen items used to fall from the shelves without reason. My dad used to blame my mother for not being careful, as he never believed in jinn or other unseen elementary spirits. The old house has the water well beside modern sinks and water and pipes. When I was 5 years old, I woke up way after midnight to have a drink of water from the old ceramic jar upstairs. When I saw in the house from the stairs, I saw a man washing his legs using the water from the artesian well. And then he turned his face and looked at me with a beautiful smile. He was wearing old-fashioned clothes that were not from our era and time. I ran scared and told my mom, and she was sleeping. She knew
and told me to go to bed. My dad heard the noise and asked my mother what was wrong with me. I told him that I saw a man, maybe a thief downstairs by the well. He used to put a gun, flashlight beside him. So he took the gun and the flashlight and went downstairs and started searching. My father couldn't see anybody and told my mother that I was dreaming, or maybe my mom's stories gave me imaginations that would run wild. I know what I saw. I told my dad, and they went to bed. My older brother and sister started hearing voices in that area of the kitchen and the water well. The voice was coming from the specific area in the house. People screaming, but we couldn't find who or where. After multiple accidents had happened to my mother, she asked my dad to move from the house or she would leave. And the voices started to influence my brother Sam to jump and kill himself. It was so dreadful to live in that house. We used to have countless nightmares. We'd see shadow figures and some of the white figures moving at night. And early dawn when my dad comes to see, he couldn't see. It was like they would hide and seek on my dad. They're always telling him to make them stop, but he would never see them. One day, my dad was in his room, and he saw his old recorder pushed away from the table. He's playing a reading from the holy book, and he saw a shadow figure move so fast back into the old kitchen area. My father thought the activity may be coming from the old water well. So he hired a construction team to come to the house, close the water well, and repair some areas in the kitchen and the Turkish bath, put new bricks, shelves, new paint up. To everybody's surprise, the workers uncovered a grave, 5 skeletons, a complete family buried side by side in a grave in our house. Police were called in. They took the skeletons and the authorities to find the people, who they were. Later, my father found out that the dead family of 6 lived hundreds of years earlier in the same area that the house was built on. They likely died of some sort of poisoning. We heard no voices after that. There were no activities after they removed those skeletons from the house. It was a man, a woman, and 4 children, exactly the number of our family at that time. 3 boys, 1 girl. Sam, my older brother, goes to school, and my younger brother goes with my mom to market. He was 2. And Alon, my sister, wasn't born yet. Still my mother's belly. I told my mother about the little girl who I played with and her name. Mom decided to call the baby girl Alon after she was born. After a few months, my father sold the house. We moved to a different area in Baghdad until 1962. My father was poisoned after a new government took over, as my father was working for the previous president's family as a family portrait artist. We were above middle class, and then we became very poor as all my dad's assets, money, and the studio were taken by the government at that time. And that's the story, kids.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted a happy ending to that story.
Nope. Shit goes bad.
It got worse.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Back to the ghost stories in just a moment first. And I want to thank our supporter today, Best Fiends. These guys have an awesome app. Best Fiends is friends without the R. Obviously, we do ghost stories pretty much all day. That's my life. It is. If I'm not doing this show, I'm doing the other show, or I'm doing the other show, or I'm prepping for doing the shows. But every once in a while, I like to take a break, you know, take a little breather and think about something other than ghosts. And everybody kind of has their outlet. For me, I like playing apps, I like games, and I really like Best Fiends. I've been playing that for quite a while now, and it's great. It's like it's my mental palate cleanser, if you will. It's a great puzzle-solving game, and it's not one where you have to be, you know, super gamer guy or gal to get into it or to know what you're doing. It's a very casual, fun, and it's challenging, though, puzzle game. We don't have to be an expert to play it. It's fun. I'm up to, like, level 42 now. It's one of those things you start getting into and you're like, I want to keep playing this. It's so fun. It's great. It gets your mind off of things. And like I said, I don't know any other way to describe it other than just that. It's a mental palate cleanser. It's kind of takes your mind away from stuff for a little bit and you kind of go back, you feel a little bit refreshed. I know it sounds like a refreshing cola, doesn't it? Best Fiends updates the game on a monthly basis. There's new levels all the time and events, so it really never does get old. It really is. It's like a service. They're always trying to find ways to improve it. If you find yourself playing this thing at random weird times, you're not alone. A lot of people find that when they get into this game. Engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
I thought that was crazy, though. That, I don't know, is it crazy or beautiful that his mom named the daughter that same name?
It's really interesting.
Is it kind of cool or is it totally not? I don't know. I'm somewhere like it is cool. And then I'm like, no, it's not.
Well, I was like wondering, was he playing with like the spirit of his someday to be sister, or what, you know, what was that exactly? I think the mom just liked the name and said, that's a great name. Thank God the ghost had that name. I'm going to name your sister that. That's kind of it's kind of odd, but hey, I guess it works.
But how crazy that the dad would have the feeling it's coming from this one area. Mm-hmm. So they go to dig all that up and then they find a family.
Yeah.
A skeletal family.
I think the most disturbing part about it is you go, oh, shit, I've been drinking out of that well for a long time.
Great.
This family's been dead in it forever. Yeah, it's never a good thing.
It's interesting to me that that's one thing that transcends no matter where you live. So
bodies in the well?
It could happen here. It could happen there. That's kind of universal.
What, bodies in the well?
Not bodies in the well, but, you know, people being haunted by the dead people buried there.
It's a common thing in Kansas, the bodies in the well.
But it's just interesting because, like, I've never heard a ghost story from Baghdad.
You know, I think
that was kind of fascinating to me that I wasn't expecting you to start off today with that.
No, that's very interesting when we get the stories like that. I have had some from there, but it was actually from U.S. military. And they're recounting some of their experiences over there on different bases and things during the Iraq War in the early part of the 2000s and some of the experiences that they had. And you got to think that area of the world's got to be haunted as shit.
I mean, they've had so much tragedy and so many wars and so much strife.
Yeah.
That it's ongoing.
Thousands of years.
I mean, that was fascinating to me. I wasn't expecting that one.
Yeah, it's always interesting to get stories from around the world. And that's kind of a interesting thing about ghost stories is no matter where it is, and you just made that point too, a ghost story is kind of a ghost story. I mean, the setting may change, but yeah, I mean, there's the commonalities all about it. It's just like in the book that I just put out last year, which I hesitate to say I wrote because I didn't really write. It's just, it's 13 curated stories from around the world and they're classic ghost tales. But they were from all over the world. Some translated from all different languages into that book. That's the interesting thing about it is no matter what part of the world it is, the ghost story is a ghost story and they all have very similar properties and similar events that occur in them. And it's something that we all kind of share in common is our, you know, that we all have ghost stories no matter where we're from.
And didn't he say too that the dad wasn't buying into it and then mm-hmm. he saw something and that's so everybody's dad.
Yeah.
Everybody's dad's like, no, we're not moving, kids. This is all in your imagination.
You know,
until dad sees it one day.
I would be the same damn way, quite honestly, because I get it. I mean, it's you're the dad. It's your house. You don't want to admit anything is going on, even if there is. And you're going to try and find every damn reason because you don't want everybody to get freaked out. Because it's not like, oh, let's just pick up and move. Like, that sounds like an easy idea. Just, you know, if there's a ghost, I mean, we've had some moments here in this house, which have all been completely explained, but my first reaction is it's not a ghost. It's not, there's just no way. Even if there's a possibility that it is, it's not a ghost.
And
kids, go to your room.
Yeah, like we
had all of the lights.
We've learned in this house that the air suction is a thing. Like when the heater kicks on or the air kicks on, if you have a door that's open, they're easy to shut on their own. Like the pressure will just kind of suck them closed.
Okay, that would freak me out at first. Well, until I figured that out.
Yeah, I mean, I've had houses like that before. Our last two did not. So this is like a new concept to the kids. They've never seen this happen. But growing up, my house did that. And we had, Harp was trying to screw with Jen the other day. And Harper was at, likes to have her door open a little bit at night. And there's another room that's kind of catty corner to hers. And the light is off in there. And so it's kind of dark and there's shadows out there. And she tells Jen, she's like, I saw a dark shadow mass out my door. And Jen's like, Harp's saying that she's seeing a shadow move around outside of her door. I'm like, and I go to ask, like, what are you talking about? Like, explain to me, show me if you can. What are you talking about? It's like, well, it's dark in that other room over there, so it's kind of shadowy. Like, is that what you mean by a shadow mass moving around outside your door? Yeah. Like, okay, so you're not seeing like some shadow thing move from your room out there. It's like, no, it's just dark out there. Like, okay. Well, can you explain that to Mom? Because she thinks there might be a demon roaming around outside your room.
And now Mom's not sleeping very well because of what you told
exactly. her. Harper kind of got a kick out of it. She's like, I totally screwed with Mom. I'm like, don't do that. So, yeah, you know, you just kind of got, you know, you got to dig into it a little bit before you say.
Once again, she is your kid.
100%.
She is so your kid.
I'm always just kind of chuckling when I should be saying, don't do that. It's like, that's good. That's a good one.
Well, that's something I would do. Yeah,
exactly.
I love you.
Yeah. Good girl. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny or Carol. It's Vinny from New York calling again, listening to the episode right now, Haunted Staircase. And you just read a letter about a young lady who comes home from college with her friend, and she has some creepy feelings on a staircase and that she had pre-existing when she was a child. So just something to just an idea about that, you know, because I do like to unpack this this topic of the paranormal from a psychological standpoint, is going back to, you know, things that, you know, we as humans are not familiar with or can't see. So think about that. If you're in your living room and you have a staircase that's going upstairs, sometimes it's kind of creepy when the lights are out on the second floor and you can hear people talk. Even if you know who it is and you know what's going on up there, it's still an odd feeling of not knowing 100% of what's going on just out of your sight. And then the same thing with the basement, you know, the stairs going into the basement. We all have, you know, if you do a Google stock image search of creepy basement stairs, is going to be a dark staircase going down to a dark basement. And I've called before talking about why we as humans have this deep-seated psychological hesitation of basements and attics and how we perceive those to be the scariest parts of the house. And why that is because as kids, we weren't hanging out in the basements and in the attics of our homes. So we already had this pre-existing hesitation of these locations. And we as humans tend to be, biased against things that we're not familiar with. But anyway, so I just want to offer that, but also I wanted to give my little staircase, story. So, you know, I work at the Morris Jamel Mansion, which is located in Manhattan. It's the oldest surviving house in the borough of Manhattan. Several years ago, when I first came to work there, I was actually first commissioned to write a play for the museum. And so my first days there, I would spend hours just hanging out in the archives room and talking to the staff and trying to formulate what eventually would become the plot of the play that I was writing for this museum. And I guess I was spending a lot of time there, and I was doing a lot of research and going through a lot of letters, and I had this nightmare. And, you know, the story, the museum has a long, long paranormal history as it is, but I'm not going to bore you with that. But I, while doing my research, I had this nightmare. And I remember I was standing on the second floor of the museum, and I was looking down the floor, like toward the balcony. And I know you're not familiar with the location, but the balcony is actually where our most famous ghost story took place in January of 62, where a group of kids are waiting to be let in for a field trip, and they are being allowed, they're carrying on, and then they say that a woman in a black dress comes out and yells at them and tells them to shut up or go away. And then the curator comes running up a few minutes later, and she goes, oh, so sorry, there's a problem with the subway. I'll let you guys in for your field trip. And said, yeah, that's okay. And we're really sorry. I think we disturbed your actor in the house. And she was like, what are you talking about? And they said, the reenactor that you have stationed in the house. And she's like, we don't do that. What are you talking about? And they go back and forth, and then eventually they come into the museum for the field trip, and they see the painting of Eliza Jamel hanging in the hallway, and they're like, oh, that's the woman that yelled at us. Meanwhile, Eliza has been dead over 100 years at that point. That got the attention of Hans Holzer, the parapsychologist who was teaching over at NYU at that time. And he comes in, he does two seances, and if you want to follow up more about that, you can check out, there's a new show called The Holzer Files, which is pretty cool. We were on an episode of that, so it documents that. But anyway, back to the story about my nightmare. I was standing in the dream. I was standing on the second floor, and I was looking like toward the balcony. And all of a sudden, I remember I looked up and to the left. In real life, there is a staircase that goes up to the third floor where our offices are. But in my dream, what I could see was just, it looked like a woman wearing a long nightgown, barefoot, and walking backwards up the stairs. And all I saw was just in time to see at the very top of the stairs, where before she was out of sight, I could just see her bare foot, like walking backwards, but the foot was like green and rotting. And I remember I woke up in real life. I woke up screaming. And what's also really interesting about this is that I also had another dream around that same time that an old woman came, again, I was looking out the same direction, and an old woman came out of the wall and like stopped and then like started walking toward me, and then I woke up. Well, if you came to the museum now, that wall that she was coming out of, that wall is what is the exterior wall of what's Eliza Jamel's bedroom. What I didn't know was that originally when the house was a home, that's where the door was going to her bedroom. It's since been sealed closed, and they've opened up an additional secondary entrance into her bedroom. Why they did that, I don't know. But anyway, very long story to just, you know, kind of relate to the whole topic of staircases. So anyway, guys, as always, you do an incredible job. Thank you so much for what you do. I'll talk to you soon.
Interesting place.
What was the name of that place?
It's the Morris Jumel Mansion.
I want to go there sometime.
It's in Manhattan. It's really interesting. We did an episode of the Grave Talks with Vinny last summer. It looks like, I'm looking back, April 22nd is when it aired on the Grave Talks. And it's a really interesting episode. We talk all about the history of the place, what's going on there. And he's just full of stories about that place.
And his dream was freaky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the freaky part was the person walking up the stairs backwards,
mm-hmm,
with a rotting foot. Like, that's crazy.
When you work in an environment like that, and then you have dreams, I think it'd be even more difficult to decipher, is this dream related to the paranormal, or is this just a freaky dream because I work in a freaky place every day? You know, just, is it just right, my imagination kind of running wild? As anything that you do on a regular basis, it's much easier to, you know, have dreams about it, and not to be that it's going to be paranormal, but if the place you work is inherently paranormal,
right?
You know,
how and
do
we
you...
all have stress dreams about where we work?
Yeah,
and you know, his stress dreams would be kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that or not, not knowing, is this a sign of something? Is something trying to communicate, or just, you know, me having a stress dream? It would be really hard to know.
And he does have a valid point about being scared of attics or basements, and I get that.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, the house that we lived in, it didn't have another attic. So all the bedrooms were on the upstairs.
Yeah.
And like that was, I couldn't get down the staircase fast enough. I always felt like I was getting followed.
Sure.
Going up the stairs or down the stairs. So that's my problem with staircases. I'm fine with them as long as there's a light on behind me.
That's interesting.
Then I don't have any problem.
Because I get what he's talking about, where it's, you know, the areas that we're not familiar with that we kind of have a fear of.
Well, and then you can't go up there, or they are kind of creepy.
Sure.
Even if it's not a haunted place, the basement or the attic is creepy in most houses.
And I get that, with being an unfamiliar place, you know, that you don't go to frequently. But stairs are an interesting one, because they're frequented. They're probably frequented more than most other areas of the home, because you have to use them. You have to go on this path. So in a way, the stairs would almost be like one of the most familiar places of the house. But I guess it's also one of the most vulnerable as well.
But I think he does make a valid point about that.
Yeah.
But to this day, I hate going upstairs without a light on. Period.
It's understandable. It is. Love hearing from you, Vinny. Thanks for calling and sharing those thoughts. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi. My name is Tanya, and I'm calling from southwestern Virginia. I'm kind of new to your show. I've only been listening for about a month. And so, anyways, I heard someone talking about, at one point, about genealogy, and it reminded me of a story that I had happened to me back when we still lived in California. And it's like, I think it's like probably the first real thing I had happened to me. Anyways, I do genealogy, and I was wondering if like doing that can kind of, like when you're researching your ancestors, if maybe that can kind of like bring them in, like kind of call on them or some sort of thing. But I had two small kids at the time, and they were like maybe 2 and 4, 2 and 5. And we had just got home, me and my kids, and they fell asleep in the car. And so I carried them in, and they laid them on the couches in the living room. And then I went into my bedroom that had like this little computer room where I genealogy. And the kids were sound asleep. And then my back, where my computer room is, my back is to the bedroom door. So someone came in. I can kind of see, but kind of not. And so I'm sitting there working, and I see someone walk into my bedroom and go over to the side of my bed and then disappear. And I just see a light, and it was just like kind of like, you know, hazy, like I didn't have a full view. So I thought one of my kids had woken up and was coming in the bedroom to scare me, and like went over to the side of the bed and like were hiding from me. So I got up from the computer, and I snuck over like super quiet to go scare them. And I got over to the side of the bed, and there was no one there. And then, so I thought, well, maybe they went under the bed. So then I looked under the bed, and there was still nobody there. And so then I walked back out into the living room, and because I swear I saw something go over to the side of the bed and just disappear. So I go back out to the living room to see who was up, and they were both sound asleep. And so then I thought, well, maybe someone came into the house. So I walked all around the house, and all the doors were still locked, and there's no one in the house. And so then I walked back into my bedroom, and as I got to the bedroom, I started shaking and, like, just crying. Like, I was just super emotional. I don't even know why, but I just, like, started shaking and crying. And I wasn't scared at all, but I really seriously believed that something was in there, or, you know, I had seen something come in there. And, like, both my grandparents had passed away, and so for some reason I thought it was, like, either my grandpa or grandma or both of them or something. But it wasn't, like, a scary thing, but, it was so emotional. Like, it was so weird that I would just cry and be shaky and just cry, and then And then, anyways, then I just went on with the day. But I was also wondering if Cynthia, maybe, like, when it, like, researching certain ancestors, if maybe I called one in or something. I don't know. I just thought that was kind of interesting. Like, does that, do they know that you're like, why is she looking me up or whatever? But anyway, that's my story. And I've got a few more because then when we moved to Virginia, we lived in a really super duper old house and I had a couple things happen there. And so I'll be calling you back eventually. So, I hope you can use this. I hope I didn't babble on too much. Thanks. Bye.
Well, actually, I was reading the other day with Ancestry. There's this new Ancestry Premium 3D Plus now, where you not only can get all of your information and your DNA tested, but it actually conjures your dead relatives up for 3 full days a year. You get to pick the days, and then they come back to you. It's a really neat new feature. A good, you know, holiday gift item or something right there.
But for only like $500 a month.
Yeah. I mean, you get it and you have to do the other stuff.
1 year required.
Yeah. You have to get the DNA tested and then you have to, like, it's not just like swabbing your mouth to get the ancestors to come back. You have to like take locks of your own hair. And I believe the hair of a virgin goat. And part of like three liters of blood, and you have to paint it around your door frame, and then you have to make this little altar thing, and then put the ancestry.com logo on. You have to carve it into a piece of wood
and take a picture of it and post it on social media.
And then after 3 days, you're supposed to be able to go out there at 3 a.m. and have a conversation with whichever relative you choose. It's really kind of it's neat. You should see the photos.
I would almost do that to have like a conversation for one night. That would be kind of awesome.
Go and try and find a virgin
goat.
3
liters of blood, though, I'd be like, I don't have a clue how to do that.
But you're totally in line with how to get the virgin goat.
Yeah. Well, you just get a baby goat, and who doesn't want a baby goat?
That's true. That would be probably easier than
they
the
are
blood.
So adorable.
Yeah.
But you know, that's something I never really thought about.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes some sense to me. If you start digging around in your ancestry and start reading up on people maybe you never knew existed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It kind of makes some sense.
It does. I mean, it goes back to the...
Have you had other stories like that over the years?
Not on that level, no. But it does make sense where it's... People don't want to be forgotten. And if that's part of the driving force to haunt and to get a message across is because they don't want to be forgotten. If you're digging them up or digging their memory up and their information up, and if they're hanging out... And they're around somewhere. Yes, finally, somebody's paying attention to my story. I can help with this. That would make sense if they may make a second appearance once you you come across it. It's probably the best thing that's happened to the dead in a long time is ancestry and things like that.
Because, you know, like, say you're a regular ghost and you've been haunting this family, but they don't know shit about you.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes along and figures out who you are and how you died and what happened to you and all this stuff.
Sure.
You'd be like, oh my God, I need you in my life. Or I need to be in your life. Cause yeah. I don't know if you really have a life once you're dead. I don't know how that works, but I mean, it kind of makes some sense.
I wonder if you can now with Ancestry, if they're planning for the future of like future generations using Ancestry, like 100 years from now, if you're a current user of it, you could write your kind of own story on there. Like, hi, I was curious about our relatives. Here's everything I found. Here's a little bit about me, dear, great whoever. I'm dead. But if you want to find me, I'm in the well, you know, something
right.
Like that. Where, you know, I don't know. I mean, where it's like,
go up into the attic, turn around 3 times saying my name.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's like premeditated, information. And it's not a will, you know, I don't know that we've really had anything like that before other than like someone just kind of writing a book or a novel, you know, about their life where it's, or just reading someone's diary, but someone with the intent of, you know, whoever is going to research this down the road, finding that sort of information and things being written for that purpose.
Yeah.
It'll be really interesting someday, people perusing, because what we're doing now, I mean, on Ancestry, you're looking at, you know, records of people coming in on ships, going through Ellis Island, census information. Now you're going to be able to see, you know, in 100 years, look at grandma doing a keg stand in college. Holy shit.
Right.
You're going to find all this shit out about your grandparents that you never wanted to know. It's like, oh my God, why the hell are they so obsessed with these things called selfies? What the hell is that all about?
No, they'll still be doing selfies.
God, I hope not. I hope that's just something.
But maybe not selfies, but the equivalent of that.
I don't know what that will be.
People are very vain.
They are. That, if there's one thing that's true throughout history, that is probably a defining characteristic that's always kind of been there. If there's a way to just accentuate vainness, people will do it. And we just are kind of at the current incarnation of it. Yeah.
I mean, look at the Egyptians.
Yeah.
Their equivalent of selfies.
That's true. It really, it's kind of always, it's transcended time and space. It's always just kind of been there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Keep us on the air. Get all the bonus episodes, EPP bonus episodes, extra podcast person episodes, ghostpodcast.com, the place to sign up for that. Or if you like Patreon, do it there. Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi along with Jenny and Carol Hughes inviting you to come check out our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories.
You don't get a fart in my presence and just leave it.
When I pick up a cup, I try to take a sip. It's Greg's chew. Like, spit take right into the screen.
Gross.
I know. You can't unhear that.
It's a show jam-packed with stories of crazy bosses, insane coworkers, and workplaces from hell.
I'm seriously getting in trouble right now for being a hard worker.
Pick your ear, nose, rub your eye that clearly probably is pink eye. Then here, let me handle those apples for you.
So not only is it gross that you're getting bacteria onto the money, but you're getting bacteria up into something else.
And the best part, you're invited to share your workplace nightmare or office horror story as well. Just search Office Horror Stories wherever you download podcasts, click subscribe, and start binging away now.
You know, I'm single, and then I listen to stories like that, and I'm like, that person found someone.
What? You've been carrying on a not-so-discreet affair with one of the day shift supervisors and had skipped town with her and literally thousands of dollars of client money that had been earmarked for employee incentives.
I wish I had a kid. Because if I had a kid, I could call in sick a lot, I could leave early a lot, and not saying,
you know,
that they were making it up. But yes, I have worked with people who make that shift.
Our brand new podcast, Office Horror Stories. New episodes weekly, available wherever you download podcasts.